T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, he's special. That's right. I have my own limousine that takes me to and from the job. No, not that special, I'm afraid. We're glad you're with us this morning. Hope that it is the beginning of a nice Memorial Day weekend. Not the one I'm sure you had planned back in January when you were looking forward to spring. Little did we know, but that it's a good one, and that you are finding, like many others, that the restrictions really have begun to lift. Not fast enough, it would certainly seem, but they have begun to lift. This is 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and 106.3WORD.com, 101.5 FM in Anderson, and 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca. That's pretty much the Upstate there, my friend. Jimbo in for Tara today and Monday with our Ingalls Advantage talk line at 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. And we note the fact that one of the firms, different firms are used by different counties in this state, but one of the firms used by 13 counties in South Carolina, Minnesota-based Sea Change, wound up sending about 20 Charleston County absentee ballots to the state of Maryland. Why, I don't know. Maryland isn't short of Democratic votes. I'm surprised the Democrats aren't sending Maryland ballots here. The Democrats need more ballots in this state than they do in Maryland, where Democrats win virtually everything. Somehow they did manage to elect a Republican governor, but I don't know how, and I used to live there. Anyway, looking at this whole notion of the rush to mail-in ballots here, there was recently in the Denver Post an op-ed written by a couple of Democrats in Congress, Joe Neguse of Colorado, Dean Phillips of Minnesota, who treat mail-in ballots pretty much as a cure-all. And they make a pitch for the bold Democratic reform bill offered by House Democrats. Now, what they didn't tell you in that op-ed is that an oversight change to universal mail-in ballots will potentially disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of voters, that is to say, real voters, and that their bold proposals are just an attempt to get more votes for their party. This most recent proposal by House Democrats would mandate that every state mail a ballot to every registered address in the country for this year's election, even when the state suspects a registered voter has moved or died. Well, that doesn't matter. Somebody else can cast that ballot. Now, this type of mandate not only wastes taxpayer dollars by sending undeliverable mail, but it's impossible for the states to safely implement this before the voting actually begins. It's impossible. Cannot be done. Democrats couldn't even make a voting app work in Iowa. Remember that? Remember the Iowa caucuses? And that, you know, it was weeks later they were still counting them. And they made a mess of their own caucus results, but they think that they can redesign the nation's entire voting system in 6 months? Really? Sure they do. Now, in addition to being sure that their vote was accurately recorded and counted, most Americans would prefer to know who won the presidential election before they start their Christmas shopping. Yeah, I think we probably would. beyond the time it takes to redesign a voting system, which is to say that no matter what changes that we think we ought to make, this is not the year to make them. But beyond that time, a mandated universal vote by mail requirement is unsafe and risks disenfranchising huge chunks of voters in the country. Now, even the Brennan Center for Justice, this is a left-leaning policy organization, but even they have concerns about implementing universal vote by mail in time for the 2020 election. This was an article from the Brennan Center, again, a leftist group. This was March 31st. Voters need safe and sanitary in-person voting options. The Brennan Center noted that, and I quote, ineffective mail service is more common in poor and minority communities as well as rural communities, unquote. Duh. Their conclusion is straightforward. Eliminating polling sites would completely disenfranchise these voters. That's an overstatement that it would completely disenfranchise them, but again, it would partially disenfranchise them, and that's almost as bad. Again, it goes down to the thing, any rape is a terrible crime, but a little bit of voter fraud is not such a bad thing, to hear some people tell it. All right. At the same time that these proposals would disenfranchise many of our most vulnerable, legislation proposed by the Democrats would allow a vast expansion of the practice commonly known as ballot harvesting, which, by the way, Democrats euphemistically call community collection. Isn't that a nice sound? Community collection. Yes. That's sort of like, I suppose, the St. Valentine's Day massacre in Chicago would have been called, let's say, community littering. All right. But it's a slick way of removing an election safeguard. If you don't know about this, ballot harvesting is a practice of permitting any individual to collect and return an unlimited number of mail or absentee ballots without a documented chain of custody. That's a term you need to remember, chain of custody. This Democratic reform, which those two congressmen in that op-ed support, poses two huge risks. First of all, it is completely inconsistent with social distancing guidance in this time of a pandemic, and ironically is inconsistent with executive orders from sub-governors which have sought to minimize door-to-door politicking. And second, ballot harvesting creates an environment for potential vote fraud and election illegitimacy. This proposal creates a compensation allowance for ballot traffickers, people who get paid to collect ballots. In other words, political organizations can pay ballot traffickers to go door-to-door in an attempt to collect ballots. Make no mistake, the Democrat organizations are not paying ballot traffickers to go door-to-door in a nonpartisan manner to collect Republican ballots. And therein is, of course, where the potential vote fraud lay, creating a payment permission structure in federal legislation to allow compensated ballot harvesting is designed to affect election results. This is not just an unfortunate side effect, if you will. It is designed to create that result. And taken together, these two proposals would lead to the disenfranchisement of voters and increase the potential for voter fraud without addressing the health concerns of voters. So that's part of what we're talking about here, and discovering these South Carolina ballots in Maryland is simply symptomatic of the problem that we're talking about overall.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
the voter fraud issue is certainly not going away, or at least we can't let it go away. Absentee ballots are, in fact, a great way to vote for many senior citizens, military, and others who can't get to the polls on Election Day. But creating a system that doesn't reduce social interaction and, in fact, could increase it while also losing the chain of custody of ballots is just irresponsible, nothing more. Trying to do it from scratch in less than 6 months goes beyond that to reckless. And I don't like to accuse the Democrats of things that aren't fair, but this is fair. They are simply using the pandemic as an excuse, just as they've used it as an excuse on the various stimulus plans to push every pet peeve by every special interest they represent. They are now using the pandemic as an excuse and a pretext to remove many safeguards for elections. This should not be a partisan issue to value election integrity. We should all care about election integrity. It is fundamentally an American issue and essential to this constitutional republic. And I just hope that people, in fact, realize that. Now, you look at some of the other potential that exists here. The state of Nevada offers some lessons, I think, here. The president, this is what the president tweeted recently. State of Nevada thinks they can send out illegal vote-by-mail ballots, creating a greater voter fraud scenario for the state and the U.S. Probably the president was referring to Clark County. That's Las Vegas, and the majority of the state's residents live there. In fact, way over a majority. They sent out ballots to inactive voters. Now, that's a misleading term. You need to understand the technical meaning of the term. An inactive voter in Nevada sounds like someone who hasn't voted in a while. Now, if you skipped, let's say, the last year's city elections, that shouldn't be the grounds for not receiving a ballot in an all-mail election process. That's not what makes someone an inactive voter in Nevada. Every 2 years, the county registrar sends out every active voter a new voter registration card. If the post office tells the election department that a voter moved, the registrar sends a forwardable postcard asking for an updated address. If the voter provides his new address, then the registration remains active. If not, the voter is considered inactive but eligible to vote. Inactive does not refer to how often someone has voted. Therefore, it should be easy to see the folly of mailing ballots to inactive voters as they're pushing for in Nevada. You're sending a ballot to an address where the voter no longer lives. That's what led to ballots piling up inside various post offices in Nevada and in the trash cans of apartment buildings. Now, in an all-mail, M-A-I-L, an all-mail election, the only safeguard against voter fraud is signature verification. Okay. Even if signature verification is 100% effective, which, surprise, is wishful thinking. If that surprises you, then tomorrow we'll look into the tooth fairy. But even if it were 100% effective, it would not be enough. Signature verification can't stop a number of things. A union boss filling out a ballot and telling the voter to sign it. It can't stop a nursing home worker from having an elderly person sign the ballot and then voting for his preferred candidate. It can't stop, let's say, a husband from filling out two ballots before having his wife sign her envelope. Now then, situations like those are why a 2005 commission declared absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. That's what that commission said. Oh, you know who chaired that commission? Jimmy Carter. And they concluded, of course, that was 15 years ago. That's a long time for Democrats. They concluded absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. And again, that's not of concern to many of these people because, hey, it's only potential fraud, right? All right. And the commission went on. Vote buying schemes are far more difficult to detect when citizens vote by mail. Also from the report, they recommended prohibiting ballot harvesting. Again, this was a commission led by Jimmy Carter. Prohibiting ballot harvesting, they recommended. Now then, Democrats in Nevada right now, and there are lessons for the rest of the states, are seeking in a lawsuit to demand that Nevada courts order election officials to send ballots to inactive voters, allow ballot harvesting, and eliminate signature verification rules. Well, gee, what could go wrong? Democrats want to send ballots to addresses at which people no longer live, allow third parties to gather the ballots, and count the ballots with other people's signatures. Vladimir Putin would approve. Nevada shouldn't, and nor should any other state in this country. It is obvious that the real goal of these lawsuits is to establish precedent for the November general election. When it comes to election integrity, government bears the burden of proof. It's not up to citizens to find evidence of vote fraud. Officials must demonstrate their voting systems aren't vulnerable to fraud. They are certainly not doing so very effectively. And an all-mail election just doesn't meet that standard. Again, it is the type of concession that may be necessary for the elderly, for those in the military, perhaps the disabled. But we're talking about a fraction of the overall population, the voting age population. For most of us, it is no big problem to just go to the polls and vote. It is no imposition. And yet, to hear some talk, you would think that we're talking about yanking the votes out of the hands of people. And again, I have to underline the fact that if your vote is canceled out by the vote of someone who shouldn't be voting, then it's the same as if, in fact, you were not allowed to vote. And this has got to be driven home to people. Texter says, if Afghani and Iraqi voters can risk death to vote, Americans can go to the polls and vote too. Yes, that's very true. And they did, by the way. That's true. Texter says, Democrat voter playbook came from screen-in gangs of New York. Have you voted yes two times? Good. Shave and vote again. Okay. It is important that this issue be fully discussed, and I just thought it was a good time to do so based on the discovery of some South Carolina ballots found in Maryland. Unbelievable. We hope it's going to be a good Memorial Day weekend for you. The traditional kickoff of summer, maybe for some the kickoff of fewer restrictions on their behaviors, their activities. At a time when study has ranked the states on how restrictive they are, the most restrictive states, Pennsylvania is number 5, Illinois number 4, District of Columbia number 3, Rhode Island number 2, and Hawaii number 1. And then since we include D.C., there are 51 rankings at the least restrictive end, number 47, Idaho, 48, Missouri, which has two major urban areas, by the way. Most of the states on this list don't have any, but St. Louis and Kansas City. Missouri is number 48. Number 49, North Dakota, 50, Utah, 51, South Dakota, as the least restrictive states out there. Now then, let's check out what's happening on the text line this morning. Welcome back, Jimbo. It's good to wake up and hear your voice. You were right on about voting. Don't ever try to mess with my ballot. No, don't try to mess with my ballot either. I would agree with you, who were agreeing with me. Okay, let's see. Good morning, Jimbo. I think the sudden reversal by the Centers for Disease Control this week about COVID-19 not being transmitted on surfaces or packages or mail-in ballots, yeah, is no coincidence. Right on course for the left. Thank you. Enjoy your sense of humor and filling in for Tara Stephen of the unconstitutional state of Connecticut. Sometimes they do behave that way. Yes, that's true. Ballot harvesting and vote by mail is a plan to cheat. Yeah, it is. And even if it weren't, it is, but even if it weren't, it still leaves open that possibility. And there's no point to leaving open that possibility, unless, of course, cheating is really what you were hoping to achieve. But if you care about the integrity of the system, there's no need for any of that. Even if you assume that there are benefits, and that I'm missing what they would be, but it wouldn't matter. The integrity of the voting system is the most important thing, the most important thing. IRS is another subject here. IRS website said in my criteria, my stimulus check should have gone into my account by April 29th, but it's May 22nd and still nothing. I don't know what to tell you. Obviously, calling somewhere will get you nowhere. You can try the digital hell and see how far that gets you. My guess is it won't get you very far. You do, of course, have two senators and a member of Congress. That's all I can suggest. Constituent service in an election year matters. So you might consider contacting, assuming you're from South Carolina, Senators Graham or Scott, and whoever your member of Congress is. That's all I can tell you. I want to take a look at the firing of an inspector general. Much has been made out of the firing of an inspector general. You recall that, of course, when the president fired the inspector general of the State Department, Steve Linnick. Now, in accordance with the Inspector General Reform Act of 2008, which protects inspectors general from being fired without cause, the president did in fact inform Congress in writing about the intent to fire Linnick, expressing that he no longer had the fullest confidence in Linnick, who was appointed to that position, by the way, by Barack Obama, which of course leads to another problem that we have far too much of, and that is holdover Obama appointees. But that's neither here nor there. Back to the subject at hand, Democrats naturally have come out of the woodwork, of course, to express their fake outrage at this and to launch an investigation into the firing over charges that the president acted to protect Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Where were those Democrats in 2009 when Barack Obama fired the Inspector General of the Corporation for National and Community Service, Gerald Walpin? Where were they? Walpin was in the middle of an investigation when he was called by White House counsel Norman Elson, who informed him that he had an hour to resign or be fired. Now, that was in violation of that Reform Act that the president, President Trump, adhered to. But this inspector general, was fired in the Obama White House in violation of that act. Had an hour to clear out. And incidentally, that Reform Act was co-sponsored in the U.S. Senate by the junior senator from Illinois at the time named Barack Obama. So he violated the act that he co-sponsored. But hey, what's a little hypocrisy among friends? 18 now before 8 a.m. here at 106.3 WORD. Anyway, after Walpin's refusal, President Obama wrote a letter to Congress giving the following explanation. It is vital that I have the fullest confidence in the appointees serving as Inspector General. That is no longer the case with regard to this Inspector General. Gee, sounds sort of like what Donald Trump said. What really happened? Gerald Walpin had been investigating the Sacramento mayor, Kevin Johnson, former NBA basketball star and big Obama supporter, for misusing federal grant money from AmeriCorps. The program was created by the National and Community Service Trust and grew to over 80,000 members. Program participants received benefits such as student loan deferments, living allowances, health benefits, career opportunities, and training, and so forth. Program has done some good, but has also been plagued by waste and corruption. Imagine that. Anyway, Walpin found out that Mayor Johnson gave $850,000 of AmeriCorps grant money to a nonprofit organization he founded called St. Hope Academy. In addition to being improperly used to pay AmeriCorps volunteers for political activity, to wash his car, this is your tax money now, and to run his personal errands, your tax money, Walpin discovered that Johnson had used AmeriCorps grant money to pay hush money to underage girls who were students at St. Hope Academy, and that he had sexually assaulted them and then staged a cover-up. Your tax dollar going to all of that, okay? Waupun called for Johnson to be criminally prosecuted and said Johnson, because of the fact that he gave money to Barack Obama, was able to get a sweetheart deal, avoiding prosecution if he paid back the money. It's okay. We'll look the other way. Don't you fret about it. Gee, what could be wrong with that? Waupun was furious about the deal and made it known, prompting his illegal firing. That, the Democrats didn't have a word to say about. Oh, no, well, can't get into that. Not a big deal. The inspector general fired by Donald Trump. Oh, it's an outrage. It's a threat to the republic. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. So, again, when you hear someone talk about the firing of that inspector general, ask them about Gerald Waupun. Ask them about Gerald Waupun, and if they don't know, which they won't, explain it to them. Because Obama fired an inspector general in violation of an act he co-sponsored. A person who has used the Ingalls Advantage talk line would be Rick in Duncan. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, Jimbo. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
hey, I'm going to go back in time a bit. Remember the first quarter of 2017 when Trump won the election, and there was a lot of talk about him losing the popular vote to Hillary.
Right.
And he then made a statement that there was obviously voter fraud, and he targeted California with people that were voting twice. Tara had a story about people that were voting twice and dead people voting and on and on. And he then formed a voter integrity committee in the middle of the year, and they spent more than 6 months, and he disbanded it, I believe, in January of 2018 because they really found nothing. And Trump's kind of going back to the same playbook, talking about voter fraud, and I think that it's disingenuous to try to prove a negative, to try to prove to the states that there's going to be voter fraud. It's as if there's an accident on the road and I call you up and say, prove to me you didn't cause that accident. And you can prove it. And you say, what proof do you have that I did cause the accident? It's a logical fallacy. And we've had one case of proven voter fraud, and that was in North Carolina in 2018, and that wasn't to favor the Democrats. You know all about that, most certainly. What do you think?
My thoughts are that it is incumbent on officials to show that they at least have gone the other mile in trying to make it obvious that they have done everything they can to eliminate voter fraud. And when you have circumstances which are ripe for voter fraud, that's a bad circumstance. When you have groups such as Move On, which in fact have actively engaged and were actually taped showing potential voters how to illegally register, then that's also a problem. Again, how many cases you find, in some cases it may be hard to prove, but the circumstances that allow for the possibility, certainly those alone are quite sufficient for us to do everything in our power to keep that from being pursued. Now, if there was some compelling reason, for example, for having mail-in voting, then that would be one thing. There is no such compelling reason other than for a select number of people, the elderly, disabled, otherwise infirm, the military and the like. There is no such reason otherwise. And it is therefore, I think, incumbent on every election jurisdiction in the country, state, local, federal, to make as clear as possible that they have done all they can to minimize the opportunities for vote fraud. It would certainly be naive in the extreme to suggest that there aren't those who would take advantage of it. In point of fact, the conditions are ripe, and whether or not something is discovered doesn't alter the fact that when conditions are ripe, these things will happen. So my take on this is very simply that not only the reality, but the perception of voter integrity is vital to the process. And so, again, It is important that we do all that we can to further that. It's bad enough that we have in this country now some of the efforts that are being made to undercut the integrity of, for example, our own U.S. Constitution. So it's important that we do all that we can to restore trust in the system and certainly to keep in place such things as voter ID, a minimum amount of mail-in voting. I think these are important prospects to follow. Again, it is incumbent on election officials to demonstrate to the extent they can not that there has been no voter fraud, but that they've done everything to minimize voter fraud. So that would be my take, and thanks for your thoughts, Rick. There are 535 people in Washington, says this texter, who have no legitimate oversight. They are our most pressing problem. Well, they, of course, have the oversight of the voters. The problem is, obviously, that the voters in many jurisdictions out there are quite happy with who they have. In the last, I think it's five congressional elections, Nancy Pelosi has received at least 80% of the general election vote. The fact is that there are many people out there who are quite happy to have people who pursue corruption as long as the corruption seems to be in their favor. It's unfortunate, but it's the way it is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.